Hi, everybody, and welcome to So What Happens Next? Small Screens, a sort of new mini-episode series that we're kind of running in parallel with our main series, So What Happens Next?, where we talk to you guys about, like, the TV show we happen to watch, whether it's, like, an older show we watched all of, or maybe the latest and greatest season of, you know, whatever's happening right now. As always with our other show, I am your host, Thomas.
I'm Amber.
And this week, we are going to be talking to you as a little bit of a follow-up to our last episode about Ash versus Evil Dead. All right. So, Amber, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. Yeah, so this is kind of our little, like, sideshow. We realized that a few shows we've talked about on Instagram, we've given, like, little reviews or synopses of the series.
Yeah, we'll put a story on our Instagram and kind of let you know what we've been watching.
Right. And this is kind of like our forum to sort of talk about it. So, Small Screens is kind of like our TV, and we're just talking about what we're watching on TV. So, as we kind of, you know, tossed around in our Army of Darkness episode, and I guess maybe the whole Evil Dead franchise as a whole when we were marathoning that, was how about we do, you know, like a mini episode on the TV show, Ash vs. Evil Dead. So, over the course of time, we've been watching it, and, you know, like, I gotta say, I really enjoyed it. What about you, Amber?
I definitely enjoyed it, too.
And so we liked it a lot, and we want to talk about it because mm-hmm. we feel like it was almost like a cliffhanger in just ending with the movies and not talking about this show that
came out. Yeah, and they're definitely two different, like, I feel like they're two different types of entities. Mm-hmm. Like, the trilogies are, not trilogies, but, like, the movies are a little bit different than the TV show, but it has, like, a different vibe to it.
Totally. So let's get into that vibe. Like, okay. With Ash versus Evil Dead, what are like the big differences between the show and the movie?
So the show is a lot more, well, let's just say it's a lot more diverse with the characters, and I really enjoy how it's not just like Bruce Campbell as, you know, Ash, but they bring in Pablo, and they also bring in the other girl whose name escapes me.
Kelly.
And I liked how they didn't focus so much on... They did focus, like, Ash's, like, background story. But they also introduced, like, these other characters that come along and also kind of, like... It's, like, a continuation of, like, you know, the Evil Dead and, like, the book and everything.
Right.
And I just liked how it was a lot more fun. Like, every episode, I was kind of looking forward to what they would do next or what was going to happen next. And I also think it is still gory and violent in, like, some episodes, but it was just a lot. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the format of, like, TV shows versus movies where it's, like, you know, a continuation of things. And you look forward to, like, the next episode, whereas a movie, it's like, oh, it's over, and, you know, that's kind of, like, it. That's what mm-hmm. you're, like, given.
Yeah, I totally feel you. I liked the vibe of this. I mean, it was one of these things where, on paper, it sounds so campy and cheesy, kind of like the movies, but it's when it's like, do you really want to watch three seasons of that? And I have to admit, like, going into it, I was like, three seasons? Like, that's fine. Like, it's kind of like, oh, these movies are all 90 minutes. Like, yeah. I'm totally fine with that. But then you watch it and you finish it and you're just kind of, like, left with, I kind of want more of that.
Yeah.
Like, it's like I'm actively watching it. I'm not just, like, passively sitting there and it's on in the background. But at the same time, it is both the funnest show to watch actively and the best show to just be on in the background.
Yeah, and I think that's what I was trying to say. Like, it's a lot more fun than the movies.
Oh, yeah. And it's fun because it's, like, I don't know. It also has this weird way of taking like what would be not really playable jokes, like Bruce Campbell's like casual racism or casual misogyny.
Yeah.
And like,
and it works better because he's older.
Right,
and
but it works better because
like himself, like as if he were still in the Evil Dead movies.
And I think that's the way it, that's how those jokes landed, at least for me, was because in the realm, like, it was, like, ironically funny, right? Like, it was funny in light of itself.
Yeah.
Which was weird because, like, I don't know, like, you don't think that racism or sexism or something like that would be funny today. And usually it's not. Mm-hmm. But I think it's, like, the way that it was done in this to where it was doing it in a way where it's, like, this is how this guy is. He's living still like he's in the 80s. And everyone just kind of cringes for you. You're laughing at the people cringing at the jokes, not the joke itself. And that's what I kind of liked, was it was still able to keep Bruce Campbell's character as the goofy, crazy character from the 80s without compromising that. But at the same time, for like a more updated audience of like, hey, yeah, this isn't okay. We're not going to like.
And even like the characters they introduce, you can see like them cringing. Exactly. And like the looks on their faces. You have this character that's Honduran, and then he's also, they say he's illegal.
Yeah, there's like a joke about it in the beginning and then it just kind of dropped.
Yeah. But of course, when Bruce Campbell says that, they're kind of just like, that's really not funny, man. Like,
right.
And then he, of course, makes a lot of like sexist jokes as well. And you have Kelly over there. And she's like, of course, the epitome of like, you know, like feminism and like this just edgy girl. And whenever he makes like jokes like that, she's just kind of like, wow, you're being stupid. And,
right.
You know, like you shouldn't say that.
Right. But it's not.
So it's like almost like they're educating him, which is really funny to watch because he actually begins to grow as a person as a result of that.
Right. And I think like that's, it's just such a masterfully done show because it's done in such a way where these like little educational bits of like, hey, man, that's not cool to say. It's not just like a, let's stop the show dead and educate the audience on like the trials and tribulations of saying something sexist or racist. It's like we're playing it for laughs in a way where it doesn't stop the show. It keeps it moving. But at the same time, is also like, yeah, like this isn't cool. You shouldn't use these cheap shots in comedy just to, you know, get a laugh or two. And I think it does that really well. And then, of course, you have the whole plot of it, which is basically Ash gets high with some girl and reads out of the Necronomicon and then unleashes evil on the planet again. And it's just sort of this ever-escalating situation of them versus Lucy Lawless's character, who's a demon who wants the book for her own nefarious ends. And this, I mean, this show even does cheesy time travel well, for Christ's sake. I mean, this show is really, really well done. And it's kind of sad it only got 3 seasons. Even though it wraps itself up really well, like,
it does,
in my opinion. And I thought that was kind of cool because like when we watched Army of Darkness, the like original ending was that he wakes up in the distant future and it's like the apocalypse and he just kind of screams no.
And that was kind of like a cheap ending, I would say.
But then in this, like in this, they kind of play it right. Like they're like, okay, yeah, we're going to do that ending that we didn't really get to have. Except by now, Ash isn't all like, no, I'm so helpless. He's like, groovy, let's do it.
And
like,
he's ready to go into like Mad Max mode.
Exactly.
Like with this whole wasteland scene.
And I'm like, that's great. Like, I'm for it. That's fine with me. I can do the Ash in the future thing. Like, even if it was just like a one season bit of just Mad Max Ash, like, that's fine with me. But even though we didn't get that, I'm still cool with the ending. Because like just knowing that it was the original ending of Army of Darkness, it was like a nice little nod towards that. He still has the car and like the guns and the chainsaw and stuff. Like it was just a cool way to end that show. And I mean that you're right about his character growing the entire time, like especially season 3, like he finds out he has a daughter. And all of these things normally to me in TV shows, they play as like cheap bits to accelerate something, right? But I mean like they do the daughter thing so well. And it just really works, I think, in my opinion, for this show.
They do.
And yeah, like, I don't know. I really enjoyed what this show had to offer. And it was just enjoyable to watch, like, the goofy, gory kills or the jokes or just the surprisingly in-depth plot and mythology that we're learning about
the Evil Dead. I know, we're learning about different cultures, I would say.
Well, it might just be a hodgepodge, but like the fact that they went so in-depth in like the lore of Evil Dead was surprising to me.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just, we got to stop these zombies a la like Walking Dead or something. They were like, okay, this is how like the demon shit works. And like, oh yeah, by the way, Pablo is this like
seer type of person.
Yeah, I don't remember what to call it. Like a,
or not seer.
Yeah, he it was something in Spanish. I don't remember what to call it. And like his uncle was one, and it's kind of like this shaman-esque thing.
Exactly.
And he's just like, he's so, and just like characters, these side characters, that it's not just the Bruce Campbell show. Like, they actually do something. They actually have like a place in the show to do.
Even with the main villain, Ruby.
Yeah.
With her backstory and everything.
That was kind of one of the things I liked about the time traveling was with Ruby, it was like, okay, she's good now. And then we go back in time and change shit. And like the future Ruby dies. And then it changes the past Ruby to be even more evil.
Yeah.
So like in season 3, she's just all out evil again. And we're running around with her, as opposed to like in season 2 when she was the good guy and they were fighting other evil shit. And I kind of like that. Like, they execute these things really well for a show that otherwise has no business doing that. And I thought that was kind of cool because, like, then they do write it in such a way where this new evil Lucy Lawless Ruby is like, okay, I have this plan to, like, clone Ash and then, you know, all this evil shit and unleash hell on the world and all that other stuff. And it was just like, well, this kind of works out. Like, this really weirdly tracks, and I enjoy it. But then, like, when she is good, she's given something to do, and the characters are all developed really well. Like, Pablo goes from, like, scaredy cat guy who's just kind of a wimp trying to pretend that he's, you know, a badass, to finally being a badass and arguably, like, saving the day a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Kelly, who's just kind of, like, wants revenge, sort of coming to terms with the fact that, like, you can't do it on your own. You don't get to just kill everybody in sight just because.
Yeah. Know?
And I mean, it was just really cool, like, that they did that. Because they didn't have to. The movies didn't do that. And I think that's maybe this a little bit more enjoyable than some of the movies. Because it's just like, the movies, especially Army of Darkness, it's just, all right, let's watch Bruce Campbell kill some skeletons and shit, you know. we're not here for anything else. You didn't ask for
let's
it.
Let's see him hit on some women and
right. It's just like, let's watch the goofiness of the second movie
and then kick people's ass.
Right. Like, and in this it's like you see that too, but he's old. And like, I just love how it's all like acknowledged. Like, he keeps trying to like pick up women and they're just like, ew, no.
And then like the teeth part, he has dentures.
Right,
he has, like, big teeth. Really funny.
I just love how, like, he's old. Like, he's an old man, and they don't let you forget that. And it's just, like, over in, like, different scenes, his hair's more gray than not. Like, if he forgets to put that gunk in, it's, like, more gray. No, I mean, this show was fantastic, and I'm really happy that, like, you know, people suggested it. I'm happy that we got a chance to watch it. I'm happy that it was short enough so that we could talk about it and finish it, but at the same time, like, I kind of wish there was at least a little bit more, like, maybe not in the future, but maybe, like, one more season of just something to flesh stuff out a little bit better.
Yeah, like, something that'll, like, put an end, so to speak, to this Evil Dead.
Right. I mean, that's kind of how I felt, yeah. So, like, if you could change anything about this show, what would you have changed? If anything,
I don't think I would have changed anything because I was also going to mention the dichotomy between him and the community. So where he is from.
Right. The Michigan town, whatever it
was. Yes, the small town in Michigan.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious when they were just like, Ashy Slashy, and like, giving him that nickname.
Well, and that was the cool thing, because it wasn't that, it was
that
he wasn't...
And then towards the end, they were like, oh, wait, you were right, this isn't, like, fake or anything.
Right.
It's real.
I do have to admit, like, that was both the most believable and least believable parts of the show, because that was where they were like, okay, we're gonna keep everything in this one town.
Yeah.
But then, like, we obviously have Bruce Campbell killing people that they don't know are Deadites.
Yeah, like the first girl in the first movie that was his
friend,
the artist.
Yeah, and that was the biggest twist to me, was that it was a sister.
Yeah.
Like, so everybody who's listening, like, you know, tweet at us what you know or think, but as far as I'm aware, like, she was not, like, they make no mention of it being his sister in the first movie, yeah, right?
And they, like, really developed that because
they're just there.
Yeah.
It's just like two dudes, two girls who are in relationships with each other.
Yeah.
And then this fifth person who's just this girl that I didn't think they developed in any, I don't think they developed anybody in any greater relationship than romantic. So I was, when they were like, oh yeah, this is your sister, like, besides, you, like, Linda, sister.
Like, that was the only one that they, right, were like, oh, Ash was in a relationship with Linda, but everybody else was like,
yeah. And I was,
but they
just
sort,
like,
of like brought them back, which was really cool,
right,
some of them.
Yeah, well, I love how they bring the sister back, like, yeah. And they brought back, like, the actual actress who did it, which I thought was pretty cool too. Like, she comes in and she's evil and is still an evil dead, and they have to fight her, and, like, the whole, like you said, like, the dichotomy between how the rest of the world sees Ash as either, like, nobody or a hero versus, like, this town that sees him as a psycho serial killer, which I think the biggest hole in that is, how come he was allowed to leave? Like,
oh, that's true.
Did this town just, like, banish him? What is this? Like, it's like, you're that guy who went up to that cabin and killed all those people. It's like, well, if you know this and you have proof of it, then why is Ash not in prison right now? Like, and I don't think they talk about it. Like, I don't think they ever mention, like, oh, he's just lucky that they didn't have any evidence or something to that effect. They were just kind of like, yeah, he did it. We all know. The cops all know. But we didn't pursue this at all. Like, what the fuck? But I do like how that was sort of his, like, he was kind of a embarrassment or just a crazy person. And, like, when you meet his dad, though, that I think is where that is the one lull, I think, in, like, the racist sexist joke argument from earlier, because that,
yes,
made me cringe.
His dad
a little
was
bit
exactly
much.
The same.
But it was, like, to the point of, like, dialing it to 11. Like, it's like,
yes,
it's like Pierce's dad in Community, where you're just, oh, like, oh,
can you imagine if they had Chevy Chase as
the
Bruce
dad.
Campbell's dad.
And they probably would have just asked him to, like, walk on the set and just, like, and just say some stuff. Well, why am I even here? What are we doing in Michigan? Don't worry about it, man. Just talk. Okay, you're good. Go home. Well, what are you checks in the mail.
Just be yourself.
Yeah, just be yourself. It's fine. No, that was a little cringy. Like, it wasn't as funny as it was cringy to me, because I was like, this is, yeah, a little weird. Like, kind of gross. Like, it's just gross. And that's the only way I can really think of it, is, like, it's just nasty.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, I mean, when they're in Michigan, like, it was pretty funny. And then you start to get a little, I think if I had to change anything, it would probably have been some of the time travel stuff, because it changed things, but it kind of did, like, a crappy version where, like, they get back to the future, and then it's just sort of like, oh yeah, everything else happened the way it did. Like, Ash is a hero for going back in time and stopping them from getting the book. And it's just like, well, wait a minute. You changed time. Things shouldn't be the same. Like, you shouldn't be a hero because you went back in time and fixed it. That doesn't make any sense. And, like, I think some of those kinds of things I might, like, change to be something else. I don't know.
Yeah,
what.
Yeah, they didn't fully flesh it out.
And I wonder if they were, like, told, okay, season 3 is, like, gonna be it for you, so,
oh,
you know, that's it, fix it. And they were kind of left with, like, well, shit, we can't address the time travel changes in a season and then do a fourth season to end it. And I think that's why, like, this show could have totally benefited from one more season and just go from there. But yeah, all in all, I mean, I really enjoyed it. If you had to give this show a rating out of our standard 10, what would you give it? And why?
I would give it an 8 out of 10 because it was definitely better than most horror shows that I've seen on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's all over, like, American Horror Story, and I'm kind of just like, that's kind of cringy.
I've
never seen
it.
Because they try to do horror and drama together, but, and a little bit of comedy, but it just comes off like, oh, that's just your typical, like, you know, horror,
yeah,
show, to where you say something really funny and then, like, you're like, that character is dead. It's kind of like, you know, Slash, like, really, like, right, passion Slash movie.
I've never understood those shows because,
yeah,
it just,
or it has a lot of sex and gore,
right?
Like,
I've just never understood horror shows
with Lady Gaga. I was just like, this is just sex. Like, oh, like every episode, like, and it doesn't do anything for the plot, of course.
Oh. See, because to me, it just, with, I never understood horror shows until like this one. Though arguably this is more like an action horror, like just action with a lot of gore in it. But I've never really like understood the draw of horror television, because it just seems like I want the movie, I want it to be resolved. And if your horror thing just is never resolved or isn't resolved for a very long period of time, then it just sort of stops having an appeal. Like,
yeah,
I think horror, like the fear in horror, especially movies, comes from the tension you build up of what is going to happen next. How is it? How are they going to get out of this? Or how is this going to end? And if you have like a 20 episode television series where like you're just going through it and nothing, and it's just constantly building and building and building and building, but you kind of hit that point of, well, the world's going to end, or this evil person's going to take over this person's body or kill this main character or something, you kind of are... You get to a point where you're like, are you going to do it or not? Yeah. Like, figure it out.
It was not until recently that we started getting more horror shows like Stranger Things. Like, when that came out, all the shows magically became like Stranger Things.
And
it seemed like.
It's
and Stranger good, Things is a very good show.
It's a good show.
Yeah, it's not bad, but after a while, it's kind of like, oh, every show is like that. And I can easily go on Netflix and just, like, point out, oh, that show is exactly like that.
And it's, like, it's all in a weird pieces of Stranger Things, right? Like, you get, like, half the show is trying to do a nostalgia thing with either the 80s or the early 90s now. Or you're doing it in a way where it's a bunch of kids in this, like, a Goonies kind of fashion. Or it's... just the way it's filmed. It's like one of those. It's never all of it, because if you do all of it, it's just Stranger Things, but with a different plot. And I mean, like, it's cool to, you know, when something works, awesome. But at the same time, like, Stranger Things was unique, and now it's not. And it's one of those shows where it's like, you gotta remember that it was the one that did this thing today first.
Yeah. And I think given the budget of Stranger Things...
Oh, it definitely looks like it's skyrocketed, like, right now. I mean...
Really?
Well, I mean, I think the budget for Stranger Things has just steadily increased since season one.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Mm. Like, if they had done that for Ash versus Evil Dead, it would have been far better. I think that's just the one thing, like, I'm kind of... like, which is why I give it an 8 out of 10, is just because of, like, mostly the visuals and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, they could have done better.
Well, the show did come out in, like, 2010.
That's true. So maybe I shouldn't be so harsh.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where...
Yeah.
Where, yeah, it could have had a better budget, it could have had better visuals and things. But I think it's also that it's a television series based on, like, a cult set of movies that, like, when you think about it, I'm kind of shocked that anybody put money towards this happening.
That's true.
You know, like, this is kind of a shocking thing to occur, that this television series exists.
Yeah, it's like if somebody did a television series for Friday the 13th or whatever, or not Friday the 13th. I think there is a TV show on it. But, like,
well, it's like if
Freddy Krueger.
Like, yeah, or like if somebody's
who's
in a television...
gonna put money towards that for a TV show, because it's just, it's going to be so repetitive. And I guess... maybe that's where the fear was initially, but then after doing it, like, they were just like, no, this actually turned out really good. Like, people actually like it.
And I think it just, it wasn't hitting those, you know, if this isn't Game of Thrones for stars or whatever, so it
wasn't. Yeah, it definitely wasn't serious.
But I think it was they wanted it to be. Like, they wanted it to be, oh, you can watch Game of Thrones on HBO, or you could watch, like, Ash vs. Evil Dead on stars. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, well, I mean... was this ever going to do that? I mean, come on. Like, they're not even in the same type of, like, category here.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the big issue with a lot of TV is, you know, this is the next Walking Dead, or this is the next Wire, or this is the next Game of Thrones. It's like, just make your TV show, you know? Or now, like you said, like, this is the next Stranger Things. It's like, just make your TV show and enjoy it. Like, why does it,
like,
have to be the next anything?
Yeah.
I don't know. And so, like, I guess my rating, I honestly would give this show probably, like, a 9 out of 10. Just because there were things where I was like, that's weird, or, like, a little rough. In the sense of, like, it probably could have been done better. but I do give it kind of the benefit of the doubt on a lot, because the show definitely seems like when it's trying to work its way around, say, budgetary issues or a limited number of episodes or the fact that you're only going to get one more season, like, and give it the benefit of the doubt, because it's not like they had a choice, right? Yeah. And I'd much rather the show end, like, at least with an ending like it did, than just stop. You know, like, we don't need a Firefly where it just kind of is like, yeah, cool, we're done. Maybe we'll give you a movie, like, probably not. That's
the
worst part
when you get to the end. It's like complete shit, which we all are familiar with. Yeah, or it's like, just it stops because they, you know, lost all, they don't have any more money coming in.
Right. And I will say, like, I do enjoy that TV's gotten so much better now to where you do get kind of a wrapped up.
Yeah, thing. Like, you plan things out, because right. if you don't, you end up with shit like Game of Thrones that's like, oh, crap, we only have one more season now. Like, let's wrap everything up, like, in six episodes. And it's just like, really? You didn't plan this out very well.
Well, it's also like, you know, I'm sure HBO was willing to give you more. Why do you want to do it in four episodes or six episodes or whatever the hell it was, you know?
Yeah.
I'm thinking things again like Firefly. I know it's like older. That's back before all this. But I think
shows
this,
now, they're trying to find that happy medium to where it's like, okay, how many seasons should we do and how many episodes, like, per season to make it balanced so that we're not being burnt out, you know, but then we're also like utilizing all the resources that we're given without expecting it to be 100 seasons or something crazy like that.
Yeah, and I think especially with like streaming, I mean, recently like Avatar The Last Airbender was released on Netflix, right? And like, that is a show that has like tremendous rewatch value. And I think that a lot with this dawn of streaming and everything, I think a lot of networks and just television production studios are trying to make sure that their show is rewatchable, and that at the very least, even if you're canceled after three seasons, it ends and it's satisfying enough to make you want to rewatch it. And I think that's a big problem with Game of Thrones, right? Like, Game of Thrones is you could argue that it's great all the way to season six or all the way to season seven, but no matter what anybody argues, season eight is trash. Because it's the last season, no one's really, it seems like, they're rewatching that show. And I mean, I find myself going, should I rewatch Game of Thrones? And then I immediately think of the ending and I'm just like, it's not even worth it. You know, it was so bad.
And I think you bring up a great point about a show being rewatchable, because again, we have shows here that we like rewatch all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, we're rewatching Community.
Yeah.
And then we have just stuff sitting on our shelf that like we could just rewatch and kind of go back to whenever we want.
Yeah.
But if people just looked at it like, oh, we're only watching this once, can you imagine like the amount of work that producers would have to put into to think of like new TV shows because people will only watch it once? Like, that's stupid.
Well, look at, and that's where it's crazy, because you get these shows that were arguably like ahead of their time, right? And I mean, like, for me, this is a lot more like sci-fi shows than not, because that's just what I grew up with. But I think of shows like Stargate or any of like the Star Treks, really, is like, you do have a massive rewatch value in these shows, if for anything is background noise, but they do end. Like, the last episode of all of those series, as I mentioned, like, they have an end. It's not just like, all right, we're done. Okay, we stopped the bad guy this week. It's over. It's like, okay, cool. And like, those are like, I'm talking like the 90s Star Trek, but you know, all that's in like the 90s and early 2000s. And that's so much like, when you think about it, because what you said is kind of the truth, right? Like, back then, like, your TV, you had reruns, but you're not really like it capable, without buying DVDs or VHSs, of like sitting down and rewatching
the
show.
And maybe back then it was kind of like that when everyone was kind of on cable.
Mm-hmm.
And you were just like, oh, here's this new show that's coming out. Like, watch it on Friday night at this time. And it was just a new show, it seemed like, every quarter, like quarterly, just like all the time, because people were just like, you know, soaking that up. But then after a while, it's just kind of like, oh, I'm not going to like take the time to watch that, because they're all the same.
And I think a good example,
you're not coming up with something that's really like creative or like new in any way.
And that's where you get these things that I think were ahead of their time in a bit, like The Office or even like Parks and Rec or 30 Rock, where people
took like time for someone to think about to write a script for.
Right, but not even just that. It's that those shows came out before streaming was a huge thing. And I mean, look at The Office. People watch that on Netflix constantly.
Yeah.
It wasn't designed for streaming. Mm-hmm. It just is streamable. And like, and
it's like Futurama too.
Futurama's people get a mad good about example.
That when they take it off. They're just like, oh, now I can't, like, you know, binge that.
Right. And I mean, that's the other hope with the, some of these streaming services is just like, oh yeah, like we'll save like The Expanse, you know, it's like, Sci-Fi is canceling it after 3 seasons. It's just gonna end. Like where they, you know, I'm not gonna spoil it for any of you guys want to watch it because it's a very, very good television series, but it's like, we're just gonna end it. And then everyone like is in an uproar or, and they just like Amazon comes in and saves it. Or like Brooklyn Nine-Nine where Fox was like, yeah, we're done with this show. And within like 30 minutes, NBC's like, no, you're not. It's coming over here now. We're going to make this show. Like, fuck you. We're going to do this now. And it goes on for at least another 2 seasons. And it's just like, it's nice that television is being taken a little bit more seriously as a medium in that, like, we're able to tell stories. We're able to, like, give something that's really quality as opposed, and I mean, not saying all TV's good. I mean, good Lord, there's plenty of TV that's garbage. But, like, it's nice that we're getting these sort of high-level content things like early Game of Thrones or even humorous things like Brooklyn Nine-Nine as opposed to just, yeah, let's just shot in the dark this thing because we need something to fill the block that was this show that we canceled, so just do whatever, you know? And it's nice. I wish this show got picked up, but I think at this point, I'm okay with it not, like, there's no revival need. If you do it, do a Serenity thing and just make a movie, make like a fourth Evil Dead movie and just call it a day.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like the new Mad Max sequel, Mad Max Evil Road, and it's just going to be
oh, that's great.
Evil Dead. But yeah, so those are our thoughts about Ash versus Evil Dead. Do you have any last minute things you want to tack on there, Amber, that you were thinking about?
No, I think we covered everything.
Most definitely. So this was our first little mini episode. We really hope you guys enjoy it. This is obviously released wherever you can get your podcasts. It's just our little short side show. Check out our website, swhn19.com, where you can find this episode as well as the aforementioned Evil Dead Marathon episodes and all of our other episodes, this show, and the commentaries we've done on a handful of movies. Those are syncable. They sync right up to the very, very beginning of the movie where you get the production logos, and it just goes from there. There's also stuff on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We are very, very prominently on social media, so check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube even. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. This is probably the first of a couple other branches that we're just getting to creatively with the show. We really hope you enjoy it. So we're trying to get these out weekly, like kind of on the tail end of our main podcast episodes. You can expect them to come out about every Wednesday or so. And next week, what are we going to be doing, Amber?
Next week, we're going to be taking a look at Devs.
Yeah, a great miniseries from Hulu starring Nick Offerman and others. it was a very good show. It's a lot more thought-provoking than Ash vs. Evil Dead, that's for sure. And yeah. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about.
Yes.
So tune in next Wednesday when we go ahead and talk about Devs. And as always, I'm one of your hosts, Thomas.
I'm Amber.
And this was So What Happens Next, Small Screens.